This past week, I has was, you know, this microphone is really hot. I was wondering if you can just back it off a little bit. I can hear feedback up here. Sorry, high-end feedback. This past weekend, I was privileged to be able to sit down with a couple of ministry leaders and talk story, which is not unusual in itself, except that these particular, the subject matter turned to a story with which I was familiar, but I didn't really know this too much. And it was Tina and it was Gloria who I was talking to, and they were sharing about the Thailand boys in Thailand, the soccer boys who were trapped in the cave. You guys familiar with that? How many of you are familiar with that? And so I was familiar with that, but I wasn't that familiar with it because I was used to the 30-second versions, the one that came on the newscast, right? Got these boys stuck in a cave, and I'm wondering, you know, why did they get stuck in a cave anyway? All the caves I went to, I wouldn't get stuck in. You know, what's with that? We're going to find, and I found out a lot more as the newscast went on, but it was a, so both of them had seen a lengthy summary of what happened and the whole thing, and they both encouraged me to go ahead and watch it. So I watched the one on PBS, Public Broadcasting Service, and it was about an hour long, and it was just riveting. Just so much more than just the 30-second slots that we see. Boys are caught. Okay, they found the boys. Oh, boys are rescued. When I saw that public, that whole program, it really, really helped me to see all the effort that went into that, way beyond just the 30-second blurbs here and there. And as I'm thinking about Christmas, I'm thinking, you know, there's a likeness to Christmas here, of what God has gone through, and that's what I'd like to share about today. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for saving us. Lord, we appreciate so much of your salvation, things you did to save us. Lord, we see the effects of your salvation. And each person here, it is likely that each person here has been touched in some way by the work of Jesus Christ. Father, sometimes we are a little short on the knowledge of what it took to save us. So Lord, I pray that today you would allow us to appreciate you a little bit more by taking a look at what you've done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We are about to go into the Christmas season, and rightfully so, we celebrate this time. It's just a marvelous time. Aside from Easter, Christmas, Easter where Jesus paid for our sins, and he died to wash us and to cleanse us and give us a pardon for our sins. Jesus is entering the world is the other short little bookend, if you will, of Jesus' earthly ministry. And Christmas is a time we acknowledge that. And as we go into that, I'm going to begin the Advent messages next week, December 2nd. And we're going to have messages that really are going to share the gospel. So if you want to bring people to church, this would be the good time to do that, okay? So months ago, we all watched on TV as some boys, 12 boys and their coach in Thailand, instead of going to soccer practice, they went into this cave, which is not so bad, except this is a really long cave underground. They went there to celebrate the birthday of one of the boys. And they got trapped by rising water. And the monsoon season was about to come up, so the water is only going to get higher in all likelihood. They got trapped 2.5 miles into this cave. 2.5 miles into a cave. I can't even imagine that. Really, I can't. I try to. I really can't. And I loved looking in caves, but caves in Hawaii aren't that deep. I was a scuba diver in a previous day and a younger day, and I loved to go into caves, but every time I'd look into a cave, You got to be careful because you might not come out and the Coast Guard might have to come and get you, right? So I understood what it is to be underwater, trying to look at things and find things in murky water. I was a night diver, so I understood what it is to be dependent on your flashlight in pitch black conditions. And so I understood some of these things, and yet I could not understand how this was happening. It was just way beyond my ability to understand this. So the rescuers of all kinds came and experienced and encountered just incredibly dangerous situations. And there were twists and turns. This 2.5 miles wasn't just a straight cave. It was going up and down, pockets of water, sometimes pretty deep water. And not only that, it was going this way and some switchbacks all over the place. If you look at a map of that thing, you wonder, who in their right mind would want to go into a cave like that? And with the water rising and a storm coming, and the rescuers are trying to divert water, trying to drain water. They have the Thai Navy SEALs there. We have top expert cave divers from around the world. The top guy in Britain came over. And cave analysts were there. Earth drillers trying to reach the people from the top. U.S. Navy SEALs, we have the Air Force, we have doctors, weather analysts, all over the world converging on this one spot in Thailand to rescue the boys with one goal, rescue these boys and the coach. And despite all the fact that everyone there were elite people in their fields, one of the Thai Navy SEALs, Saman Kunan, perished in the rescue. He is that man, I guess he's not that young because he was retired, but he was physically fit, extremely fit, but he perished. There was one really difficult decision that the rescuers had to make. The question was, when do we rescue the boys? Do we go in after the monsoon season? Or do we need to go in right away? And as weather forecasters saw the rain coming, they thought, if we try to go in after the monsoon season, they'll probably not even survive because those caves will all fill up with water. And so they said, the choice was clear. We got to go now. And from that point, from the downbeat of that point, they mobilized everything, all systems go. You know the ending. It was a good ending, wasn't it? It was a happy ending for them all. And I wondered after the end of that documentary, by the way, I really encourage you to watch that documentary. I wondered at the end of that, what did the Thai boys see all that went on? I imagine that they would. But let me ask you this. Should they have seen all that the rescuers went through to save them? Should they have seen all of that? Should they know what the rescuers went through to save them? Kind of hesitant, yes, from all of you. I would say, yeah, you know, they really ought to know what the rescuers went through. I would be surprised if they didn't. But, you know, likewise, behind the scenes of that first Christmas, before Jesus entered the world, God was on a rescue mission. God's mission was to rescue us. And it's easy for us to overlook that because we see Jesus appearing. And it's a wonderful thing. Jesus appears and it's all the Christmas stories that we're going through in Matthew and Luke and John, all these things, they just really lift us up. But sometimes we think that the rescue started then. In reality, the rescue did not start at Christmas. The rescue started long before, in preparation. There was a lot of preparation that had to go on. There had to be and it took a long time, and it took a lot of love for that to happen, to keep pressing through, for God to keep pressing along in the earth's timeline for that to happen. In fact, we see in the second half of the Gospel of Luke, we see Jesus begin emphasizing and driving into the point that God came to seek and to save what was lost. And many of these stories at this point emphasize God's heart after pursuing those who are lost. We're going to talk more about that in the new year. But for now, as we approach Christmas season, we realize that Jesus arriving as a baby boy is much like that first rescuer coming up out of that pitch black, dark water as the boys are sitting on the edge of the slope of the cave going up. The rescue divers coming up out of that water is much like how Jesus appeared on the scene. As the rescuers went into the cave was filled with dangers. The commentaries from many of these people said, even the experts, the best of experts says, this is the most perilous rescue we can possibly go on. And even if they reach the boys, how will they bring them out? So likewise, long before Christmas could happen, God was planning things. I want to take you way back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. We know about sin, how sin entered the world. The serpent deceived Adam and Eve into disobeying God. And so the serpent was successful in causing sin to enter the world. But before Genesis 3 is over, in fact, only halfway through Genesis 3, God already tells us that he has a plan. Genesis 3:15. Let's go ahead and read this together. Ready, go. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. God is speaking to the serpent. He's saying, I'm going to put this animosity between you folks. I'm going to bring a division between you folks so that you guys are not going to get along. And he has a plan. The offspring of the woman is going to be the one who saved them. He's going to crush the serpent's head, and the serpent will strike the Savior's heel. So ever since that moment, actually before that moment, because for God to say this, he already had to have that figured out. But since that moment, God has already been working with a plan. Isn't it neat to know that God is already working in a plan? Sometimes you're in your life and you wonder, you're in despair. Maybe you feel like you're in that cave and you don't know if anybody sees you. God has a plan. And it's more marvelous than any plan humans can come up with. And part of that plan, the core picture of this plan is that salvation will come through a person, a human being. Someone born of the woman. Genesis 12, God narrows that search down, if you will, the selection process down, to through whom the Savior is going to come. And who is the Savior going to come through? Let's go ahead and read this. Genesis 12, 2 and 3, and it's abbreviated here. Ready, go. To Abraham, God said, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through you. God's purpose for Abraham and all his descendants is to bless the entire world. I've preached on that a number of times, and I want to just make it clear to here that through numerous scriptures, God shows that the Savior would come through a wide range of people. Just think about the kinds of people God used. It's kind of would blow your mind. Isaac was a miracle baby. Jacob was a cheater. Judah was a bold guy, courageous. Rahab was a prostitute. David loved God. He was a king, shepherd boy. He was also an adulterer and a murderer. Solomon was wise beyond anybody else's wisdom, yet he was a womanizer and an idolater. Boaz was righteous. And his wife Ruth, through whom they would have a child, was a foreigner. And so there's a whole range of people that God uses in order to bring the Savior into the world. And finally, when the time was right, God will fulfill his promise by sending his Savior into the world. And he did it through Mary and Joseph, who were poor. So we see through the pages of scriptures the twists and the turns, sometimes the switchbacks in this path that kind of wiggle around. And finally, in Galatians chapter 4:4, the Apostle Paul says, let's read that together. Ready, go. In the fullness of time, God sent his son, born of a woman, the Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is born. Like the story of the rescuers going into the cave with a firm resolve that we have a green light here, and there's no backing down now. God sent his son into the world to be born of a woman. And as we look at Christmas, we want to think about that. Think about how God's planning has all gone into all of what Jesus' arrival. The thing that we celebrate, how much planning went to that. Now, the Thai boys were, they didn't see all the planning going on. Maybe they can watch videos and a documentary, but they weren't there when it happened. In fact, when they were taken out of the cave, they had to be sedated so that they wouldn't panic. They couldn't even swim, much less being put in a scuba gear and then escorted through very narrow caves. They had to be sedated. And so who knows how much they even remembered of that. Likewise, you and I can never know fully what God went through to save us, all the effort he went through to save us. You notice that I used hardly any scriptures that I usually go through, the Christmas scriptures of the prophecies of Jesus Christ. We often go through those things, but you folks, a lot of you know that already. So I just want to kind of paint another side of this whole thing that says God has so much going on behind the scenes that we can't even perceive. And I'd like us to pause and be able to appreciate that. Now, the Bible is clear that Jesus, God the Son, came from the Father. I want to just take this little brief detour here because there are some people who call themselves Christians, even those who call themselves scholars, who will ignore giant chunks of scripture in order to say that God took this, there was a really good guy, and his name was Jesus. He lived a really righteous life, and in the end, God chose to anoint this guy, and he became the Son of God at that point when God anointed him. No, that's not the case. The reality is Jesus, the Son of God, God the Son, existed in all eternity, and he entered our human race, and then he departed. I want to just highlight a few things, just a quick list. Just take note of this. John 1 and 14. John 1, 1 and 14. Okay, here we go. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. The Word became flesh and dwelt for a while among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 13:3 says, no one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven. That's where Jesus came from. John 8:58, truly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. John 16:28, I came from the Father. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. Philippians 2, Paul says, is in very nature God, and he took on human flesh. He made himself nothing in human likeness. Hebrews 1 and 2, chapters 1 and 2, speak of God the Son in his glory as God himself, descending to earth, being made like his brothers, so that he can bring his brothers to God. So the idea that Jesus was just a good guy, that God ended up choosing because he was such a good guy, is no more true than a rescue diver arriving in that pocket from underwater. And because the rescue diver happens to be there with his flashlight and happens to be in this pocket, oh, I guess I'll make him a rescue diver. He was a rescue diver long before he arrived in that air pocket with the boys. Likewise, God brought himself down. In doing all this, God shows that his promises cannot be thwarted. There's nothing that can ultimately thwart God's plan and his purposes. despite the twists and turns of human nature, despite our own poor decisions that we make, sometimes choosing against God, God's purposes, God's long and loving pursuit continues on relentlessly to give people the opportunity to be rescued. At Christmas time, we hear all of my sermons this year are going to be evangelistic in nature. I want people to hear the gospel. I want people to make a decision to come to Jesus Christ. And if you have people, friends and relatives who you don't know if they know Jesus, or even if they do, I'd like you to invite them, especially if they don't know Jesus. I want this message to go out to them. Or if they can't come to church, let them listen to our online messages. I'm going to really bring the gospel to people in a way that, hopefully, in a way that they can understand, they can really embrace. I have two challenges here. Challenge number one, perhaps like the Thai boys, you face an impossible situation, a seemingly impossible dilemma that you're in. Perhaps you feel trapped with no way out. You think, I can't make it another day. Perhaps you have a terminal illness or you've experienced underlying an unrelenting grief. That's why Jesus came. Trust in Jesus. Trust in him today. Give your life situation over to him and you'll find the most important rescue of all, eternal life in Jesus Christ. Challenge number two, let God use you to rescue people. You bring the rescue lifeline of Jesus Christ into that dark world of people. Is it risky? Is it scary? You bet. But somebody did that for you. Friends, loved ones, there's a whole world of people trapped in a bubble, in an air pocket. Who knows that God doesn't want to use you to bring that lifeline of Jesus Christ to them? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so grateful for you. Lord, when we face our trials today, we can face them with no fear, really, ultimately. And we pray, Lord, that you allow us to be used of you. Lord, your love just goes on and on. It's unrelenting. And you pursue us constantly. How long you have already been pursuing us. We now know, Lord, from Scripture that you have been pursuing us. If you chose us in you before the beginning of the world, you have been pursuing us since before that. But we can't even comprehend what that means, really, Lord. But we thank you so much for your long and loving pursuit. And Lord, I pray that we can participate with you in that long and loving pursuit, because there are so many people in the world who need that lifeline today. So thank you, God, for all you have done for us. If you're here and you haven't received Jesus, you can receive him today. Just invite him in. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I need that rescue to come into this dark place in my life today. Lord, be my Savior. I trust in you, because this world and everything in it is passing away. But you are the eternal God. I trust you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your salvation. In Jesus' name. And if you pray that prayer, Jesus will come to your rescue and be your Savior. Thank you, God. We love you. We want to glorify you today. And thank you for all you've done. We declare your love in the midst of your people. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.